This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Josh, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Greg, same spot.
Right here in the same. What are you doing here in town?
Well, I came in to visit my parents. My dad's facility, wide open now. I could actually hug and touch him.
Oh, that's great.
It feels really good. All right, as soon as we're done here, I'm going to see him again.
Can I go?
Yes.
Thank you.
So where have you been?
I've been out and about, went to New York for a bit, saw a few NBA games, and then did the Final Four in the studio last night in Atlanta for Twitter.
Just landed.
Just got back in town. What a game.
What a tournament.
Only one canceled COVID game out of the whole deal.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Kudos to the NCAA for pulling off their bubble.
Absolutely. And then just that game. I was shocked. I really was.
Really?
Yeah.
I was too. But if you know, they hadn't seen athletes like that all year.
The more I got into
Gonzaga,
The more I got into looking at the game, you know how old Mark Vidal is?
How old?
He'll be 25 soon. Mitchell?
Yeah.
He's a good 22,
yeah.
Strong 22. Jared Butler, good,
yeah.
Strong 22.
Yeah.
They're a veteran, older team. I think that bode well for them last night. They never gave Gonzaga even a chance. Came out, punched him right in the mouth. And then you saw over the course of the game, too, Gonzaga can play through you and around you.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor can play over the top of you, too.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Drew did a great job last night coming out of timeouts after halftime, getting quick, easy baskets, high pick and roll, throw the lob, play over the top. They disrupted Timmy all night long, got up in his face, got up underneath him. He had three turnovers in the first half. Kudos to both teams. Hated to see Gonzaga lose after a perfect season, but – almost a perfect season.
Yeah.
But Baylor Bears, Scott Drew, way to go.
Wow. That really was impressive in the construction of that team. They were great last year.
They were.
Everybody back, almost every – and just – so they were just more men. They were men last year.
Yeah.
And then when they came in, it was like, this team's going to be tough.
I go back 20-some years, and they had a murder on their basketball team. And, you know, the coach was – run out of town. It was nasty. It was almost to the point where they talked about giving that program the death penalty.
Yeah.
So what Scott Drew's done in a matter of a couple of decades, bringing that program to prominence and winning a title. Fantastic.
Right? It was a great tournament for the state of Texas.
Oh yeah.
Besides Texas.
That Gonzaga UCLA game though. Right?
We have to talk about that. I mean,
God.
That's an all-time classic.
It really was.
And I hope that the game doesn't get overshadowed by the unbelievable shot.
It
was incredible. But the game was incredible.
The game.
Were they 18 or 19 lead changes? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was amazing. Our guy Johnny Juzang, who played here at University of Kentucky for a little while.
You wonder if the whole tournament, if it was like really real. It was real.
It was real. Let me ask this. Does Johnny Juzang put his name in the draft now?
I mean, his stock will probably never be.
I agree.
But I think he really enjoyed his coming out party and would like to see what he can do next year.
I'd like to see
him.
They're
going to be really good again.
I think so, too.
Yeah. How about, because the shot's the shot, but the play that came was Suggs
the block
and then the
chase
pass.
Down and then the pass just through three people hit Timmy on the run full stride for a dunk.
It was dirty pass.
But do you know that dude Suggs?
Yeah,
he was recruited to play football at Ohio State, quarterback.
Yeah, he was a top five quarterback.
They don't just hand those scholarships out.
No, that's how you know you got a winner.
He's elite.
Yes,
he's elite. All right, who do you take? Suggs or Cade Cunningham or Evan Mobley? 1, 2, 3. Who you got?
Cunningham. I'm sorry.
I go Suggs.
Okay.
I think I go Suggs, Mobley, Cunningham. And I like Cunningham. I just don't love him.
Yeah. I just think at his size and he's, you know, 1 year and he started his, they said he can't shoot so well.
Yeah.
And he started to become a great shooter.
Yeah.
And big shots.
He's solid too. Yeah. He's really solid.
Yeah. So I would still go with him. Suggs, I maybe had a Mobley. This is your
He's good, man.
I don't know.
Suggs is really good. The more you watch him, you see he's got that burst of athleticism. Also, Davion Mitchell, man.
He made some money this tournament, didn't
My
he?
Goodness. He
his only knock for him really is coming out and he'll be 23.
Yeah, but okay. That's fine.
That's fine.
I like it. NBA he'll be able teams. To go in. He can play both ends of the court. He's a great on-ball defender. I mean, terrific. Elite.
Yeah. Yeah. Two-way player for sure. And how many is it 14 assists last night?
Yeah, I mean, crazy.
Filthy.
Really good.
Really good. The whole tournament was a lot of fun. I know you had a good time covering it.
I did.
So
what else is up?
Kudos to everyone. The Baylor Bears, champions.
Absolutely.
What else is happening?
Been reading anything?
Oh, yeah. We'll do the book report segment of our show. We try and do something to say what we've been reading. And last week, we let everybody down because we weren't prepared. And who could read with the tournament going? I had no time. So our book report segment, I let you down because I didn't read anything.
Well, I kind of let you down, too. I didn't read anything.
Okay, well, we're not a great – we will start the book report next week.
Okay.
I promise.
Deal.
Let people know what we're reading, and whether it be basketball or otherwise.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. We'll get into
we
that.
We will have something. This episode of the Rex Chapman Show with Josh Hopkins, who is so cool, is sponsored by Blue Chew. Rex, Blue Chew is an online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. This unique service is something a lot of guys could use.
Are you good, Josh? I'm good. But you're right. A lot of guys we know could use it.
Yeah, a lot of guys that aren't us, because I'm good. But if you're interested, this is a spectacular new product. Blue Chew is bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger, longer-lasting erections.
He said erections.
Rex, grow up, okay? Don't make it weird.
Okay, Josh, but Blue Chew won't make it weird, right? No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in the line at the pharmacy. Tell me Blue Chew is shipped right to your door in a discreet package.
See, now you got it, Rex. That's exactly what it is. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive the prescription within days. And the best part? It's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredients and strength for your prescription. Blue Chew's tablets are chewable, made in the USA, and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
So, if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use the promo code Josh. Just kidding. Promo code Rex at checkout and pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rex to give you your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the Rex Chapman Show with Josh Hopkins, who's really cool, powered by BasketballNews.com.
You know, Josh, we should talk for a minute about our guest.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's quite an episode, isn't it?
Big Diesel, Shaq Diesel.
Mm-hmm. The Shaq episode.
The Shaq
he called it
episode.
All the whole time. He was like, episode number
Shaq.
Yeah. He was a little boring, though.
Was
disappointing.
It? Yeah, he's low energy.
Uh-huh, not nice.
Yeah, not nice.
Not open.
Uh-uh.
And you could tell he did not like you.
Well, that's true.
All that's the opposite.
But you became great friends with him.
Well, he calls me and I'm like, hey, I'm busy.
I know. That's how he gets. He gets clingy right away.
Yeah, he wants to talk Cougar Town. Huge Cougar
Town. Huge Cougar
Town. That was amazing. A lot of athletes are, so I get that.
Wanted to play Penny Can.
Yeah, he did. How about him?
He's so great, man. I mean, you know, we could have talked to him for 2 hours. Right?
Yeah. You could really tell that. He loves you.
Oh, I love that dude.
Man, that was.
He's the best.
and an anomaly on and off the court. Yeah. And we really get into off and on court stuff.
Yeah.
It's a great, I think people are going to really enjoy it.
I do too. The different side of Shaq you don't get to often see.
Yep.
Let's get into it.
I believe that we should.
Let's go.
Shaq episode.
Shaq time. What's up, Diesel?
How are you, brother?
I'm great. This is my boy, Josh Hopkins. We go way back from ever. He's a Kentucky dude. Also went to Auburn. A great in front of you.
Got it.
Yeah. So you're Shaquille. That's an interesting name. What is it that you do, Shaquille?
I'm a philanthropist now. I do a little commentating. I think I got 15 commercials running around right now. So.
Yeah, one of them will say, sometime.
Well, you like that commercial.
Yeah, the general.
Do you know Josh? Do you recognize Josh at all, Shaq?
He looks familiar.
Josh's an actor. He was on Cougar Town. He's been in all kinds of movies. Perfect Storm. He's been in all kinds of stuff. But yeah.
He looks familiar.
Yeah. He's
probably because I followed you around before a lot. That's probably big, why. You're like, who's that dude following me, trailing me? Speaking of all the business stuff, man, I want to jump right in real quick. You're a mogul. You're a business savvy. You were in early on like Google and Lyft and Rye Lyft and Uber and, you know, GE, you're like, how are you so good at this?
I don't want to ever sound like I'm an expert. One thing I'm good at is respecting people, right? One thing I'm good at is being humble. A lot of these deals just fell into my lap. For example, the Google deal. I'm at the Ritz-Carlton having breakfast by myself in LA. And there's a bunch of big-time gentlemen eating next to me with their children. It's on a Saturday, like Saturday brunch time. So I start playing with one of the guy's kids. Being nice, the kids recognizing I'm playing with them, we're doing things. And the guy says, man, I've always loved you. I've always wanted to meet you. I want to give you an opportunity to invest in something that's going to change the future. And he started talking about it. He said, this Google search engine, I knew nothing about it. I said, you know what? I'm going to have you call my guy on Monday and you'll talk about it. And they talked about it and we did. That's how that one came along. The other thing is just being nice. Like I'm always taking pictures with people and doing this and doing that. And the Lyft and the Ride, same thing. I'm just in a, I'm at a conference, I think it was a friend of mine named Al Palagoni, and he owns Apollo Jet. So we're there, we're just looking at planes, and guys like, hey man, got something for you, Shaq. What do you got? It's called Lyft. Hey, okay, I like it, call my guy. He knows a little bit more about it, and then we did it. So another good thing is I've always been smart enough to hire people smarter than me. A lot of guys come with these big terms and big names, have no idea what they're talking about, but if it sounds good and I like it, I'll give it to my guy who speaks that language. So a lot of these deals have been just by being nice to people, just by being respectful. I mean, I would love to sit here and say, I'm an expert, do this and do that. That's really not the case with me. So thank God my mother and father always told me how to respect all people.
Shaquille, that's a great answer.
I'm so happy that you've joined us today. This is a big thrill for us, a big thrill for me. I've known you forever, it seems like. You went six, I was reading up some of this. You went 68-1 in high school your last 2 years. Who the hell did you guys lose to?
We lost to a team. And
must have had Darren Feldhaus and Reggie Hansen on that team.
Rex, they had a bunch of white guys that could play like you.
Is that right?
We're small, fast, and they shot the hell out of the ball. The name of the school is Liberty Hill High School. It was a legendary coach. He just passed away. Rest in peace, coach. I talked to his lovely wife, his two sons, and that's their claim to fame. They beat Shaq.
Yeah.
And Rex, believe it or not, it was the beginning of my free throw ups.
Really?
I wasn't a great free throw shooter, but I was always 75, 76, but so we play against this team. I get in the foul trouble. They're just shooting the lights out the ball. We come back, a couple of seconds left, down by one. They fouled me. First time I was ever nervous.
Right.
No, really. So I was like, it's like all the stuff that I learned, it just went away. Mm. And then when you miss and everybody's laughing at you, now you get nervous again. So that was That was how I felt on the free throw line. I'm telling you, okay, they're going to laugh at me. Just give it up. So, but man,
you know,
it was a school called Liberty Hill, Texas, and they had a bunch of white guys. The hell out of ball, and they beat me fair and square. Wasn't no cheating. Or
was this a regular season game? Was it a tournament game?
No, this was the state finals.
Oh, but yeah. You won one of them, right? You won.
I won my senior year because after they beat me my junior year, we played them again. I had 49-19-7.
You remembered that.
Absolutely. You know, I don't know if you'll remember this or not, but one of the, you know, I didn't play on very good teams. You know, by the time I played in Phoenix, those were my best teams. We made the playoffs. But you gave me a couple really great NBA memories that I'm not sure you know of. One, my son Zeke, he's 28 now. He's with the Nets. He's in the Nets video room with Steve in Brooklyn. Yeah, so fun, so great. But he was about 5, I guess. And I came down into the practice gym. I was with the Suns. You were with the Lakers. Y'all were really good. We were kind of good. And you were down there by yourself, shooting free throws on the other end. And at the time, you had been going through a particularly tough stretch, making free throws. And I walked in down there, and I just walked down onto your end of the court. And we said hi, and then you confided that, you know, it was messing with you, you know, right now at this moment. And I just stood down there for probably 10 minutes and rebounded for you, you know, just throwing it back to you before we're getting ready to play one another. And we talked, and when I think about it, I kind of get teary eyed because, you know, you couldn't really let the public see that frustration, but you were humble. You were humble enough to, you know, confide in me that, man, and I'm just like, man, you make them when it counts. You make them when it counts. Just stay with your routine. Do you remember that at all?
I do. And I confide in you because we have the SEC connection. Like, you know, I don't know about the other conferences, but our conference was and still is so good. I used to have so many battles at Kentucky, Tennessee, and Alabama, and you were one of my favorite guys to watch.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
You really had a lot of swag. Matter of fact, a guy who was one of my rivals in high school went to Kentucky because of you.
What's that?
His name was Jeff Brasso. Remember Jeff?
Oh, yeah. I love him.
Yeah. One of us from Texas.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, me and him used to always go, and I used to be screaming names, and like he always said, Rex Chapman, you know, he would do your move. So I actually, you know, found out about you because of Jeff Brasso. They said, you know, he's going to be the next Rex Chapman. I was like, well, who the hell is Rex Chapman? I saw you play. But I was like, okay, now I see it. I mean, but you were always cool with me. You know, we have that, you know, SEC connection. And then again, you're down there with your son. I'm not going to be like, hey, we play you tomorrow. Get the hell out of my, like, I'm not that type of guy.
Of course. Of course. And you were nice to him, and you gave him your shoes after the game. I mean, just it's amazing. And those kids, you know, all of my kids have taken those shoes to show and tell every year for the last 20 years.
Speaking of sons, real quick, I just want to know, how is Sharif? I know your son had heart surgery a few years ago. Now he's transferred. I think he's at LSU. How's he health-wise? How's he doing?
Doing good, but it's time to tighten the reins up.
Okay.
What's that mean?
Nothing really. It's just that, you know, a lot of time kids think that it's easy. And I have to tell them, no, one, it's not easy. One, it's hard. Two, it's really hard. Three, it's extremely hard. But one thing you can never have is excuses. So, you know.
Did you get that from your father? He was military man, right?
Yeah, my father, he didn't want to hear it. So, but. You know, and then, you know, kids these days, especially if they have our last name, there's a lot of pressure. But we could teach them how to navigate through that pressure if they just follow the blueprint.
Like, that's the same thing that I told my son, Shaq. He played ball for a while, played in high school, went to college and played for a year or two. At one point, I had to say, hey, look, man, if you want to play basketball, you got to know there's a bunch of other shit that's going to go with it just because of your last name. Every time and he said, I don't care. And he really didn't care. But, you know, all of our kids are not wired the same way. Yes. Right.
I just need to get my babies a little meaner.
Well, you know, you're so nice though. People don't know that. And I've said for years, you know, it's a good thing for the NBA that you are nice, because you could have hurt people out there every night with your sheer size and ferocity, but you somehow knew how to dial that down and almost never got out of pocket. And yeah. I don't see how you did it, because they let us beat the absolute fuck out of you.
But I actually liked it.
And I was actually, I know.
I actually liked it. And one, I was used to it because I was a football player. But when I was coming up, hate to use this word, I was always jealous of the guys that were getting more props than me, but were not as good as me. They used to drive me crazy. I'm like I always used to look at Street and Smith's, was it back in high school?
The yeah. same. I know you're getting ready to say.
Yeah, like I always used to look at it, I'd be like, bro, you got me ranked 15th in the country and fourth in Texas. Right? And then I just go, and I'd be like, okay, I'm watching these programs. You know, they're talking about Texas. Dick Vitale, please say my name. Dick Vitale, don't say my name. I'm like, oh, like, bro, for real? Like, I just, so, and like, so me and him, we watched the Gonzaga game the other day. And the big man for Gonzaga is really good.
He's nice, good. Yeah. He's nice.
Pretty good. But I'm telling him, like, my man, you are similar to him, but you could step out and shoot a little further. This shit don't make you mad? Like, bro, you got, like, it just like, drives me crazy. He's a really nice kid, but I got him with me, him and my other son, for the next 4 months, and I'm about to turn on the switches.
Are you out there with them banging?
No, they're with me in Atlanta. Cause see, for them.
Oh, that's right.
Cause see, for them, it ain't about playing. They can play. It's just about, like, for example, they're so respectful. And if the coach tells them to run a play, they'll run the play. But you know, and I know, you always got to take advantage of mismatches.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, if we're running a 1-5 pick and roll and you see me on pick and roll, I already know what you're going to do, Rex. Back up. And if I back up, you're going to take the 2 dribbles and pull up for the 3. Or you're going to back up. If I come out, you're going to go right around me.
Right.
Rather than just get it. No, swing it to Charles. Swing it to Oliver. Like, yeah. I'm trying to teach them, like, my man. It's okay to get yelled at by the coach sometimes, but however, this is basketball. Like, when you run the plays, you got to do 5-8 on you, bro. You got to play ball.
That's right. And, you know, my dad told me, my dad's a coach, and from the time I was little, the one thing that he said, look, the coach is giving you a blueprint out there. If they swing it to you, you're running a play, and your man falls down, you take it to the basket and score. He said, now, if you break off the play, you got to learn how to be a selective gambler. It better work. You know, it needs to work. Man, you paid me a great compliment once in LA. I think about it sometimes and I just laugh, because both these guys were way better than me. And we had beat you guys. We had your number 1 year. We had Jason and KJ and Kobe was young, and Eddie Jones was an all-star, or I think he was right around being an all-star. But when we beat you guys in LA, and after the game, I picked up the paper the next day and you said, we got guys out here shooting one-legged shots thinking they're Rex Chapman. Talking about Kobe and Eddie.
Yeah, I remember.
You were hot at them, and they were both playing really bad at the time. Kobe for sure wasn't Kobe. He was like a first or second year player. Oh, yeah. But I just remember picking it up and going, oh man, that is so sweet.
Both of you guys, real quick, I want to just, there's so many questions for Shaq, but we got to get into today's game, how you guys would fit in, what you think of it. Are you mad? Are you salty about the money now?
Yes.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Who's getting paid? What? Does that annoy you? You're one generation removed from that?
You just listed off all 10 questions. Give me one question at a time. I'll answer all 10. Go ahead. First question is?
Go for it, Josh. Starting.
All right. Just how would the NBA deal with you in today's game? I contend they couldn't have small ball.
They could, but not against my team. One, and two, I'd make them all cry. All they do with, no, seriously, all they do is complain. Like, just because you got 50 people doing the same thing, I don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm. So
if you shoot a jumper on me, hopefully my general manager has a Horace Grant next to me that can get the rebound. Because as soon as you shoot, I'm running straight down the court. I'm in the middle of the lane, and I'm going to stand for 6 seconds. And I'm going to make you cry and complain. And then your team's going to get back, and you go, oh, check, check, check. And Rex is going to be wide open for the three. Right? Second, I've always had the ability to take it off the glass and go coast to coast. Three, I wish you would switch into 1-5 pick and roll. I'm clearing you out, and I'm going to back you down, back you down, back you down. And as soon as the defense comes, I'm kicking it to the shooter. And four, if you're scoring too many points on me, I'm going to flagrant you. I'm going to take that flagrant two. I'm going to take the suspension. I'm going to pay that fine every time. Because you need to know that there's no layups when it comes. What a play that I hated to do because he's one of my favorite players. Rex Chapman had a finger roll one day and he was coming to the hole on me. And I knew it was going to go in. I was like, I can't let him do it. I had to hit it so hard that when I hit it, electricity went out in the building. I hated to do
That's
it.
That's a true story.
Yes. But look, Rex is always one of my favorite guys. Like, I used to let him get away with so much. Like, I'm supposed to show him. Like, I'm not going to show him. Rex, just go shoot it. But he crossed up, and it was looking so – the crowd was going, ooh. And, like, he went, and, like, he had so much style and flair in there. I was like, Rex, why the fuck are you doing this to me, Rex?
He made it up with it. So, with it. I mean, for real, it was a preseason game, I think. It hit the backboard, and Chick Hearn and them – They lost transmission. It short-circuited the electronics in the backboard and in the feed.
I mean, that's – wow.
Just making a statement.
What did you think, right, when you were going for that layup? Did you think you had it? Were you like, oh, this is – yeah. Oh, this is a mistake.
I probably thought, well, it's a preseason game. That Shaq, he can get this, but he's going to let me go.
I mean, it was just too pretty because he came and he like, you know, jelly rolled it. You know, he had the other hand on his hip. I'm like, Rex, come on, Rex.
You know, somebody said that you've said before, and this may be true, that I was the first guy you dunked on in the league.
No, that's not true.
Okay. All right. Because I didn't remember that, but I do remember we beat you guys. Was it your rookie year? Rookie year? Yeah, because Skiles was on that team, wasn't he?
Yeah, rookie year.
We beat you on a last-second shot at our place, right?
All right, second question about the current NBA, because you just ran up off 10, so I want to make sure.
Oh, yeah, the money. Are you salty about the money they're making now?
I'm jealous, but I'm happy. I'm jealous because I always thought that you had to have Michael Jordan superb-type numbers to get that type of money. That's what it was in my era. But I'm happy for the kids. Reason why I bring up Rudy Gobert, people think I'm hating. It's not. He's a good big man. I'm used to dealing with great big men, right? So when I was coming up in high school, I already knew I couldn't compete with the Patrick Ewings and the Robinsons. They were great. And they weren't even making that much money. Mm-hmm. And my father came to the house one day, hit me with a paper. Boom, we're going to a game. This is no disrespect to John. John was a great NBA player. Wasn't a great, great NBA player, but he was great. He did what he did. He signed the contract for 15 for three. So my father makes me watch the game. Now I have confidence. I know I'm not with David Robinson on guys yet, but I'm like, John, he's only averaging 9-10 points. I can do that. I know I can do that. So shit, if he's averaging 10 points, making 5 a year, just think if I average 20 points, what I can make. So now I got confidence, right? Now I got the confidence. Now I go to LSU and I go against a guy, Stanley Roberts. He's killing me. But the only thing in my mind is John made 15 for 5. He's better than me, so he'll probably make 20. But shit, at least I can get 12. So that's the only thing in my mind. And then Stan leaves. Larry Johnson, Derek Coleman came before me. They were making 15, 20. So when I was leaving, my guy was like, you have the potential to make 50 million. That's what he tells me. And I'm like, excuse me? He's like, yeah, I'm the guy, I think it was Larry Johnson or Derek Coleman. He's like, they asked for 30. inflation, I'm going to ask for $50 million if you decide to come out this year. And I was like, wow. So I'm telling all the big guys, and like Rudy Gobert is not the average type big guy NBA player no more, because the average big they're looking for now is a guy that can pick and pop and do whatever. Rudy Gobert is big, tall, plays hard, plays good, great defense, defensive player of the year, and he's making $200 million. So all you big guys out there, look at him. Follow him. You know, you're not going to be LeBron. You're not going to be Kobe. You're not going to be Shaq. You're not going to be Garnett. But I think there's a lot of big guys even today that can do what he can do. So, like, when I tell the story, people think, oh, you're just jealous. Yeah, I'm jealous he's making $251. I'm going to go online and say I'm jealous. However, for this game of ours, it could motivate a young kid today to keep the NBA going. Because right before Rex was playing, the NBA was here. And when me and Rex got in the game, it was here. And then went back up here. Went back up here. Now, in my opinion, it's here. Maybe a little here, but it's not like where it used to be. So all these guys that are watching, this is what, you know, motivated them. Like, I don't know who Rex got his game from, but Rex was one of the first, and I hate saying it like this, Rex was one of the first smooth white boys I've ever seen in the NBA. And then if you talk to guys like Jason Williams, White Chocolate, Rex's name always comes up.
That's really sweet. You know, that's super sweet. I grew up watching David Thompson and Daryl Griffith. They were my idols. Daryl Griffith, especially. Dr. Duncanstein, played at Louisville. And I thought, you know, maybe I can get to be 6'3", 6'4". And I also fought, you know, being a coach's son. Coach's sons are kind of basic and all that. And I was trying to be different than that.
No, shit, you had swag. I remember one time watching you in Baton Rouge, I was like, who is this dude with the fucking long hair? Coming up
with the mullet.
Going to the hole and dunking. I'm like, oh man, that's Red. Who?
Red. Hey, damn. Yeah. I want to ask you about Dale Brown for a second, but he's one of my favorite guys. And I don't know if you know this, but my sophomore year at Kentucky, I got undercut by Fess Irvin, maybe. It was an accident. And I broke a bone in my back. It knocked the wind out of me. I missed the game. I came back. But
the transverse process bone. I was a big fan.
Transverse process. Josh was in high school in Lexington when I was at UK.
it broke my heart.
But I landed and I was having I probably had 15 in the game. We weren't even to the 10-minute mark in the first half yet. I was rolling. And I land on my back, but the wind's knocked out of me. First person there was Coach Brown, and he's got his hand on my chest, and he's just because I'm kind of panicking. The wind was knocked out of me. He helped me up, got me to the locker room. Fast forward 30 years, and, you know, when I got in trouble a few years ago, rehab and all that stuff, he was one of the first people to send me a message. He called my father and got my number from my dad. And started communicating with me via text and email. I know he had a big influence on you, but can you even put it into words briefly what he's meant?
A lot of people don't know I chose to go to LSU because he believed in me before I was the character known as Shaq. There was a time in high school where nobody knew who I was, couldn't play. He sent me a program on how to strengthen my lower extremity because I was 6'9", and Oscar Schlatter couldn't play. I had said to myself, fuck it, I'm joining the Army. My dad's in the Army. We live a good life, house, car. Boom, I was going to do that. He sent me the letter. I followed it. Still got cut my sophomore year living in Germany. But the next letter he sent me was a scholarship. He said, hey, man, I don't want to see you, quit. He said, hey, when you get back to the States in 2 years, I can graduate from the Baton Rouge. And this is what the letter said. He said, I can make you a manager, I can make you a ball or something, but I don't want to see, another African-American say, hey, I quit, I want to join the Army once you get an education. So then I had that. I already had my LSU scholarship. So now when I get back to Texas and I see the John Conkak thing, and now I'm looking at the paper.
The John Conkak thing cracks me up. It really does, because I remember it too.
Listen,
SMU?
Yep.
Motivated me because I went to watch him play and I'm okay, one, I'm not that good, but I think I'm a little bit better than this guy. Right? So now I'm like, okay, John Conchat.
He's in the NBA, Shaq. He's in the NBA and you're a teenager. And you're
and I'm looking and I'm like, you know what? And then I'm looking at Street and Smith and like, you know, Marty. What was his name? The scout in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Marty. I was like, you know.
Oh, Marty Blake.
Marty Blake. I was like, I got to get all these people to say my name. So now when I get to Texas, 681, now everybody knows who I am. McDonald's All-American. Everybody knows who I am. But I was like, you know what? Neil Brown gave me a scholarship, but nobody knew who I was. I'm going to go ahead, you know, go to LSU. And it was,
did you think of other places at all?
I went to Louisville to visit because I used to love Le Bradford Smith.
I had committed to Louisville. Yeah. I had committed. I was going. Yeah, I was going to Louisville until Eddie Sutton came in and was became the coach. But I had committed to Denny and them, and Le Bradford and I. Well, he was a grade behind me. Right. But he stayed 4 years of college.
Yeah,
we played together in Washington for a minute.
I wanted to play with Le Bradford. And then I went to North Carolina. Rick Fox and them didn't treat me right there to be bougie. I went to NC State because the guy's identity that I took, just wanted to see him. So when I got there, he didn't really treat me too well. Shackelford.
Yeah. He went to four of my schools. I went to NC State, Louisville.
Right.
Carolina, Kentucky.
And then the last one was Illinois because I used to like Nick Anderson.
Yeah, they were my grade. Nick Anderson
but it was way too cold up there.
And Steven Bardo.
And then I actually thought about University of Texas because I like Tom Penders. The Tom Penders taught me to move in high school that changed my life, the jump stop. He taught me to move in high school and I used to get that off a lot. So I really thought about going to Texas. But
fantastic.
It's your turn, Rex. It's his turn.
Oh, Josh turn. All right.
Yeah. But that leads right in. Like you are, Shaq, I don't want to blow smoke up your behind, but you're like a national treasure. Your humility, your sense of humor. I saw you at Lollapalooza a few years ago, and it's just like you come in and it's like the Pied Piper. You know, people, kids, everyone just crowds around you and follows you. It's like Muhammad Ali. I read at one point that when you were young, you were shy. And you obviously aren't shy now, but I contend, could you be shy? You can't hide. You can't. I know movie stars that are hugely famous. Aren't I cool? But I could go with them into like a Starbucks and they put on a hat and glasses and you don't know, people don't see them. And there's no hiding you. Did that influence just your gregariousness and this character you've become, this larger than life and your humility, obviously you learned from your father, but what's that like to be a national treasure?
Life is about being lucky. I'm just lucky. I'm lucky that people still recognize a guy who hasn't played basketball 10, 11 years. Secondly, it costs you nothing to be nice. Third of all, I'm blessed that a little five-year-old kid who never seen me play basketball says, I know him. Four, why would I be mean to a kid? Why would I be mean to a lady? Why would I be mean to a person that wants to take a picture? Like, I've seen a lot of people in our world just dog people out. I've never been like that.
Well, you're obviously it's your character. Is so it shines through. People love you, and you could be very intimidating to approach. And everybody loves you.
Growing up in a military family, you're not allowed to make two mistakes. So if I'm out in LA and I see one of my favorite actors and he dogs the kid out, I'm like, can't do that. True story. And Kobe never told me this until after we played. Little kid comes in the locker room, we were in Orlando. He wants to see Penny Hardaway. It's Kobe. I never knew this until Kobe's open story. He wants to see Penny. Penny's not a bad guy, but Penny, I don't know what's going on that day. He just, whatever. And then Kobe was standing there, and I actually remember this day. The kid was sitting there, and I grabbed him. I was like, come on, little fella, I'll take a picture with you. I never knew that kid was Kobe until he told me. We played together, had our fights and battles together. Then when we did that Lakers sit-down interview, Kobe said, hey, man, you remember when I came in the locker room and wanted to see Penny and he blew me off? I was like, that was you? He's like, yeah, that was me. So
that's fantastic.
You know, and then I said to myself, I want to be the guy. There's a lot of shit going on in 2021. I would never think we'd be here. I always thought flying cars, teleportation, no fights, no wars, no passports, no borders. But so I want to be the guy that when you see my face, I want to make you smile. Because when you smile, releases endorphins in your face, and hopefully that could jumpstart you to being a little stress-free. Because when I get stressed, Step Brothers, that's the movie I'm watching. Don't touch my fucking drum set. I go to that part, right? It just makes me laugh, and then I can calm down, and I can be like, okay, what's the problem? All right, and I can figure it out. So I want to be the guy that make you laugh.
Step Brothers is your happy place.
Yeah.
Hey, I do want to ask this before Josh butts in again. you have been you've raised in the military. You've been, you know, very pro law enforcement your whole life. And over the last year, we've had real unrest socially. How have you, this has to be incredibly difficult on you in many ways this last year.
It really is. What we have to go back to is respect. We have to go back to respect. Like, I take a lot of flack. Oh, when you get pulled over by cops, they let you go because you're shot. Not true. They let me go because I'm respectful. See, because I already know I ain't got nothing in my car that's going to send me to jail. Yes, sir. No, sir. Let me see your hands. Because, one, I'm from the streets. This man got a gun. I'm not messing with nobody that got a gun. Yes, sir. No, sir. I apologize, sir. Then once they find out it's me, then they let me go. Second of all, I think we have to be, I tell, you know, people this all the time. We have to call people out individually. Like, for example, Rex, how many times have NBA players messed up?
Many, many.
Okay, so what if people start saying all NBA players? We wouldn't have these big contracts. We wouldn't have commercial, right?
Right.
So I think when Rex, you know, in every organization, every team is going to be one disgruntled player. So that's the only thing I don't like about it is you try to put all police.
Right.
And I know some great police.
Yeah.
I know great police guys, but every now and then you get guys that do stuff. And then you never know what these guys are going through psychologically. I try to bring the respect factor back to it. That's why here in Henry County, Georgia, I've been named the community relations director.
Great.
My job to bring the community and police back together. Because when I was growing up, there was a neighborhood cop that would come and say, come here. Yes, sir, Mr. Jones. My man said you was in there stealing gum. No, I wasn't, sir. Put your hands on the counter. What is this? All right, I did. Okay, I'll tell you what. Go back in there. Take that gun back. He's going to give you a broom. Sweep the back. And if I catch you doing it again, I'm going to take it out. Like they would like teach you. And like, you know, some of these people are like need teaching, but you know, so I'm just trying to help bring the respect factor. But again, we have to, I like calling people out. Like, for example, if this podcast don't go right, I'm not going to say all podcasts. I'm gonna be like, my main man, Rex. You know what I'm saying? You just call people out. But it's been extremely difficult, but
I know you've had to talk about it a lot, and I've seen it, you know, knowing you a little bit like I do, because you are being asked about it a lot and in a very public forum on national TV, and all summer long, it was a daily topic. And I knew how torn you had to be emotionally. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about it. Cause I respect the shit out of your voice and what you've done.
I just tell people, treat people as you expect them to treat you. Like me, growing up in the military, I wasn't allowed to see black, white, green. No, it's just yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. No, ma'am. Period. And then my father caught me treating anybody with disrespect. Discipline wasn't the word. discipline started like this. Hey man, this lady said, you know, you was around the corner with your pants hanging off your ass and you was talking crazy in front of her little child. Is that true? No, sir. What happened? I said, is it true? Yes, sir. Go around the corner and apologize to that young lady right now. Like, so like he taught me to treat all people with honor and respect, period.
Sounds like a great man.
Yes, he was.
With all you do, we've already touched on the business and you're a touring, very hardworking DJ. You have starred in movies, huge television. You've got a platinum album, rapping. You have your doctorate in education. You have been deputized. I don't remember where you're a minority owner still in Sacramento, the Kings, correct?
Yes.
What haven't you done that you really want to do? You're a great dancer and you've driven a Zamboni. Two, I'd really like to drive. I'm really jealous of that one. But what haven't you done that you'd like to do?
Business-wise or silly-wise?
Silly.
I want to skydive.
Okay.
And I went to a place here in Georgia, took the class, even went to the place where you sit in the air, did all that. And then the lady says, sir, that's my police name.
See, told you, there he is.
My police name. So I even went to the place and the lady was like, how much you weigh? I was like, I'll pay $385. She's like, parachute limits are only $350, but I can sew two together. But no, oh. but look, she was old. I want to say she's like 78. She's like, Shaq, I like you. I'm a big fan of you. I can sew two together and maybe we can do the jump next week. And then I had it in my head that I jumped and the shit just flipped. So I never went back.
Something she just might not be able to do.
I don't want you to do it, buddy. Yeah, I don't want you to do it.
She was like, come on in here, baby. I'm gonna make you some cake. And I just sew two parachutes together and that should do just fine, baby. And I was like, I don't know, Miss Terry. I don't know.
How about business-wise, that stuff you haven't done that you'd like to do in business?
I'd like to, ever since, because when I was young, I used to do all these get-rich-quick schemes. Like, you can tell me, we're going to put your face inside this water and sell it, and I will believe you, not knowing nothing about distribution and marketing and all that. So I heard Jeff Bezos say one day, if you invest in things that's going to change people's lives, you'll always win. So I would like to have my own law firm. I thought about going to law school, but I'm 49 right now, so I'd be done at 55. It probably won't be a good idea because in order to own a law firm, you have to be a lawyer. But I wanted to own a law firm. And we just, you know, criminal reform, you know, defend people, sue people, general insurance. Like, I wanted to have, like, you know, O'Neill, and O'Neill.
The big attorney. We'll add more nicknames.
Big attorney. I dig it. Buddy, I can't thank you enough, man. I love you to death, and I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you. I see you doing all your stuff with the kids, and that's what makes me most happy. And I'm just...
And Rex, do me a favor. Stop saying when you were in trouble. You're never in trouble. A lot of people go through things in life. But one thing I can say about you, you've always been an upstanding citizen. You've always been a great man. You've always been respectful. Some people just go through a lot of ups and downs in life. You went through your ups and downs. Now you're back on track. We love you. So stop saying when you're in trouble.
Amen.
Thank you, man.
I always had your back, no matter what, bro. You ever need anything from me, just call me, brother. You know I got you.
My guy. Same. Absolutely. Much love, buddy.
Right. That's a great sign off. I got to ask this question.
Yes.
Have you ever been anywhere, a bar or whatever, and some drunk guy chooses you?
To fight all the time.
Yeah, to fight.
Yeah, all the time. But so I was telling my son this the other day, I have the ability to stop time. Not literally. So a guy one time, he pushes me, right? So now I stop time. There's four guys in the bar. That's four witnesses. The camera's right there. That's another witness. The guy's drunk. I could probably beat him up and get away with it. I don't want to go through a bar, get this guy. So now, if I can stop the time and there's nobody there and there's no camera there and the bar guy is a friend of mine like Rex, I'm going to knock this guy's fucking head off. But you know, because I have the ability to stop time and be like, there's four witnesses. They may say I started. They may say the defendant. This guy's really drunk. I could probably hurt him really bad. The bar guy is a friend of mine. I don't want to bring bad publicity to himself, my family, or his bar. Hey, man, come get this guy before he get hurt. So
that's critical thinking, and that's so intelligent. That's amazing.
It is, but I really love to fight, and that's the crazy thing. But I always say to myself, I don't want my mom sitting on the couch seeing me at a bar fight. You know what I mean? So, like, if I could just – and then let's go street terms. I'm not really familiar with this bar. This dude could have a strap, right? So
sure.
You got it, cuz. So you're all right. I don't want to fight. So, you know, a lot of times I'm able to stop time. But if it's ever a first 48 where there's no witnesses and there's no people.
I know you've trained MMA. You've done stuff like that's scary.
I just went on one time. Just
sheesh. What about tough guys you played against in the NBA and stuff? Here's a scenario. You're in a bar. You're with five of the toughest MMA guys that have ever, you know, Liddell, Brock Lesnar, I don't know, the biggest guys, five of them come in, you get to pick four guys from the NBA that you've played with or against, you get to those four, and you five have to go, you know, cage match. Who are your four?
One, I'm taking LJ, Larry Johnson.
He was Grandmama.
Right. I'm taking Xavier McDaniels.
Ooh, great.
Thanks, man.
I'm taking Charles Oakley.
Yes.
I'm taking Gary Trent.
Ooh.
I'm taking Ruben Patterson.
Oh, Ruben. No joke.
Great list.
Great list.
Yeah, hey, ready to go.
Hey, I got one more question in this. Well, first, Josh was one of the greatest inbounders you've ever seen at his little private school at Sarah. You guys he knows how to fake a pass to make a pass. One of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Hey. And it's just a God-given. I wasn't taught. I just came out a great inbounder.
Nice.
Thanks.
From the womb. Now, I wanted to ask, because I was reading at one point about, you know, you said you came out, first got some money, spent it like that. I did the same. But I continued it, and I didn't have any upbringing on how to save or what to do. We didn't have investments. I didn't know how to do anything, any of that. I know you went through a wasteful period as a young guy. How old were you when you got it though? And because, you know, we play with so many guys who go through it.
A lot of people don't know this, but Sarge, my father, loved the NBA so much that every time an NBA player, black or white, made a mistake, those were his sons. So he come to his other son and punish me. And the biggest ass whooping I got was when Len Bias. My father came in one night, he kicked the door open and was crying. And he was like, if you ever do coke, I'll kill you. My dumb ass was like, Dad, I don't drink coke, I drink Pepsi. No, because I didn't know. I think I was 12, 13 at the time. My brother, when I tell you his uniform was over, he was crying. Like it was his son who just made a mistake. And he just grabbed me. If you ever do coke, I'll kill you. And I'm like, I drink Pepsi. Motherfucker, I'm talking about this. And that's why I never did drugs. That's why I never did weed, never did anything because of that. So whenever like an athlete do something crazy, he brings my attention. I could be sitting there, this dude had $5 million, now he broke. This dude he'll just put it in my head. So
good for you. Good for him.
I wanted to get rid of that first check because I got tired of seeing them struggle. My brother, you never had a new car. Never had an expensive car. Get it. You too. Boom. You never had a big house, private gated community. We don't take care of that. I know I got some money coming in, but just let me take care of this 150, 150, and 850 for the house. That's $1 million. I know I got some other stuff coming in, but I want to get this $1 million out the way. But then I said to myself, they were right. So now I got to know how to, you know. And then the best book I read was The Dummy's Guide to Starting Your Own Business. The first thing I did was start a subchapter S corporation, made my mom an employee, dad an employee, gave them cell phones, get some of that money back. I wrote it off. That was the first thing I did. And then I said, okay, now I really got to start thinking about it. But I bought a quote book one day because I always wanted to sound smart. And Dwight Eisenhower said, the greatest of leaders are the ones that hire people smarter than them. So I got a guy that was in this business and he would guide me. Like, hey, man, you should do this. And then the people that are around me, they don't just tell me what I want to hear. Like the other day, I wanted to buy a Rolls Royce for $570, and they talked me out of it. I don't need it, but it was just, I was in the Rolls Royce, oh, nice. And it just looked so pretty. It was like, yep. You don't need it. I was like, damn. I was like, what if I trade this in, trade this in, trade this in? You can trade it in, but you still need $300,000. I don't think you need it. So I'm just glad I got, you know, good people around me.
All right, buddy. Love you. Thanks, Shaq.
Love. Thank you, Shaq. It's been a great honor. Thank you so much.
Good time, fellas. Bye-bye.
That was Shaquille Rashawn O'Neal. Thoughts?
I've seen him somewhere, and yeah. I didn't want to say anything. No, that was – what a wonderful human being.
Right?
He's lovely.
Yeah. You know, I made me think of John Thompson. I ran into John Thompson once a long time ago. Rest in peace. Shaq was in college or maybe high school, and I hadn't really seen him. And I asked Coach Thompson, I said, tell me about Shaq. What's he said – he said, Rex, you know, a lot of my life growing up and even today, he said, you know, when you're extraordinarily big, a lot of people are self-conscious about it. He said, but not Shaq. Shaq enjoys being big. And he said, it's going to take him a long way in this world.
And he's in luck.
Right? He's a big man.
He's a big fella.
But how fascinating is he? Right?
All that he's done. So intellectually curious. You know, he keeps doing new things. He's not just like, I'm Shaq, I've got all the money, I'm going to sit here. He's just wants to do more and more and experience so much, and I love him for it.
Me too. The skydiving. Well, I don't want him to go skydiving, but I love that he wants to go skydiving.
Yes, I could see him just like three, you know, when the Army drops in, you know, a tank. That's how the only way he'd be able to do it.
I'd vote for Shaq for president.
Maybe he might run
again. He's perfectly thoughtful, and you know, forget the basketball stuff. He's just present. He's present wherever he is. You know,
at ease with himself.
Yeah, you know, and I know he has bad days. He's been through tough times and stuff like that. Sure, but man, what a good human being, what a great ambassador. Not only for sports, but just life in general. You know, talking about the endorphins, the smile in your face.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, man.
Is there anybody, you could make an argument that he's the most famous person in the world. I mean, anywhere he goes, people, Shaq.
Yeah.
Shaq. I mean, not basketball fans, because he's so much more diverse than that. I mean, people know Shaq.
You know this, you're around movie stars and athletes and all kinds of stuff. And I remember vividly a few years ago walking into a place or being at a place, and I was adjacent to where the president Obama, former President Obama was. And he walked in the room and I can see from a distance and just, you know, everybody gets quiet, right? Well, the same event, Michael Jordan walked in. And it was double that it was for Obama, the president. And a lot of times the size and the sports, it just makes people. And Shaq, you can argue, is the most recognizable person in the world, right?
Yeah, and he can't hide. Like I said, I go with famous people that throw on a whatever, and that people don't even notice.
Yeah, yeah.
He can't hide. He can put on a mustache and a hat. And plus he's so famous. I feel like the whole time I'm being like, you know, the Chris Farley show. It's like, remember that time when you dunked it and then the whole goal fell? That was awesome.
It's just awesome. I enjoyed listening to you question it because, you know, I know all the silly basketball stuff. I enjoyed just hearing him talk about life in general, right? He's talking about his sons, you know, got his sons, going to put them through basically basketball boot camp over the next 4 months.
I would do what daddy said if I were there.
Mm-hmm. I would too.
He'll bring the hammer. You know, I've got a list of It's my own list, so bear with me, but of national treasures.
Yeah.
Okay. And these are, the list also has to be, they have to be approachable. It's not okay. Like, you know, like Leonardo DiCaprio, everybody loves Leo, but I don't know if I'd go say, hey, Leo, at a party. It's got to be. And the other, one other thing is they have to, you have to notice them wherever you go. Like Tom Hanks is a national treasure, but you could go to a party and never know you were, Tom Hanks was there, you know, not know it for sure because he could, you know, so Shaq obviously leads the list. People just are drawn to him. Just, you know, everyone loves him is the thing. He probably wouldn't like this, but I think Charles Barkley's that way.
Charles is there.
You know, we don't care. He says controversial things.
Transcends.
People love him.
Yes.
Just, and everywhere I've seen him out, he's, hey, talks to people. He They're loves
very
it.
Very similar in that regard.
And I don't think they like each other. It doesn't. No,
they do. They do.
They've gotten into fisticuffs on the court. That do. Would be scary.
They have playful banter.
So those two, I think Willie Nelson.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, everyone loves Willie smoking weed. He's just chill Willie. And you couldn't go into Starbucks and not see Willie Nelson.
Yeah, that's a good call. Anybody else?
Dolly Parton. Everybody Dolly loves Parton. Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
And you cannot go anywhere and not see Dolly Parton in pink and boobs and hair. And
you'll know her anywhere.
Yeah. So those. Oh, Snoop. Snoop Dogg. Snoop,
yeah, of course.
He's done controversial things, but everyone, if you pass Snoop in the street, you're going to go, Snoop.
Yep.
Hey. Yep. And he's going to go, what's up? What's up, man? You know, and those guys, I cusp of Jack Nicholson. Because everybody loves Jack, but I don't know if you necessarily know. I think you would at a party because he's just so gregarious. But those are my national treasures.
They are. I can't argue with one of them. You know, maybe we just got to set our sights on getting national treasures on the pod.
National treasures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah.
I like it. Right. We'll noodle it.
Yeah, sure.
Buddy, I enjoyed the shit out of that.
That was a highlight for me of all time.
You know,
I could ask him questions for 4 hours.
Oh, I know. I
want to know what it was like when he met Yao Ming. He's always the biggest motherfucker in the room. And you see pictures of him with Yao Ming. And
yeah, you know, the one thing, I don't know what it was like when he met him, but I do know great respect for Yao as a player. Shaq. Really? Yeah. You hear him talk about Yao and he's got mad respect for Yao as a person, but also as a guy he played against who was very, very good. You know, Shaq, there was really basically a Shaq rule the entire time he played. And it was, if he's on the right box, you double team him. Because if he gets to his left shoulder, turns over his left shoulder, or it turns his shoulder at all and dunks, you got to double him on that right box. On the left box, when he was young, you still had to double him all the time on both boxes. As he got older, on the left box, because he didn't come back this way quite as well and he didn't shoot it with his left hand, you would take your chances. Yao was somebody who at times could kind of wall up and play him one-on-one, and that's insane. Now, Shaq had his way at times, for sure. But Yao gave him problems, and Shaq has always given Yao props, and I love that.
Yeah,
I love
that's it. Great. Yeah, that's great.
What a good
deal. Well, thank you for the opportunity to.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I enjoyed
it. Did you see the respect he had for me as an inbounder?
I did. Right when I brought that up, I thought I shouldn't have brought it up because he looked at you right away and you kind of gave him like a eye contact to go to the rim. You fake a pass to make a pass, right?
It's just in me and I can't help it. If I see you're a guy that can
naturals. I mean, you're born with what you know, your tools, Shaq.
Yep.
Shaq and his basketball skills, his size and all that, and you and your inbounding. People don't know that about you. You're welcome, bud. You're welcome. We need to have next time, you know, let's bring on a good inbounder one of these days.
Yeah, we can talk shop.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. That's the Rex Chapman Show with Josh Hopkins for this week, powered by basketballnews.com. Join us next week, Josh.
Yes, next week.
Tuesday.
Same time, same place. Tuesday. And hit subscribe and
like. Subscribe, rate, review.
Maybe put a review and say like
that we're following.
Awesome. Five stars.
Wow. Hey, man. I'll see you soon.
Hey, buddy. Love you. Bye.